This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I was curious, watching the Phoenix Suns and Kevin Durant last night, what the Suns' odds are to win the title, according to DraftKings. The Celtics are the not overwhelming, but the prohibitive favorite. Then it's the Phoenix Suns, then it's the Bucks, then it's the Nuggets, then it's the Clippers. Those are the best odds right now. So the Celtics and the Bucks in the East, they have the first and third best odds to win it all. And now the Phoenix Suns with Kevin Durant are going to be the favorites out West. And I don't know if there's a great team out West. There's probably a great team in Boston because they went to the NBA Finals a year ago. The Bucks are very good. But if I was going to hand out grades right now, Celtics probably are going to get an A-. Then I would have the Bucks in there, probably a B+. They won again last night. But then after that, I don't know if I have anybody who's on that level with them. Out West, Denver's the best team, but I wouldn't look at Denver as a great team. Great season. They have to prove it to me. And that means come playoff time. But if you're thinking, you know, Phoenix Suns are now B+, maybe an A-. The Grizzlies are the 2 seed right now. Are they a great team? No. They have to prove. Sacramento, are they a great team? No. They have to prove it. But you probably have Sacramento and Memphis in that B+ range there. The West doesn't have a great team, but it's stacked. It feels like, you know, 3 games separating, you could be jumping from 9-6 or 6-3. And that's what's interesting about this. Having home court advantage, do you care about home court advantage? Is Sacramento going to be dangerous when they get into the postseason? Is Memphis going to live up to the expectations? Those are the things that I'm curious about. Whereas the East, it feels like, and I know the Knicks are playing well. What are they, a 5 seed? They played well recently. But it looks like it's still, you know, Philadelphia, you're buying into the Sixers. Also, did you see the report where James Harden in the offseason, could he return to Houston? He must really love those strip clubs down there, I'm guessing. Because I don't know, if you're James Harden, is that how you want to end your career? And if I'm the Rockets, I don't want that. I don't want somebody coming in and taking the air out of the room. I got a young team. Granted, we don't play any defense, but I can't entertain that. Yeah, Marv.
Harden said, a team that plays no defense? All right, I'll go back.
Yeah, Paulie.
Would you guys just, like, the Warriors have had an average season. They're 32-30. They've won three in a row. But wouldn't you, if you right now had to put a bet on someone in the West, wouldn't you put it on the Warriors?
No.
Until someone else takes a spot?
No, Phoenix.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Yeah. I was all in on Golden State, and they ended up winning the title last year. But I'm not all in on them. You know, you got Steph, who will eventually come back. Klay Thompson has been a quiet surprise because I think a lot of people thought he was washed. And Klay Thompson has been really, really dangerous. You know, Draymond is past his prime. Jordan Poole hasn't taken the next step. You know, they have the guys behind, you know, off the bench. I'm still waiting for, you know, Kuminga to do something. Wiseman, I didn't like the pick to begin with. So, Wiggins, they have a nucleus. I just don't know if they can piece it all together. And I'll go back to what happened with Draymond and Poole. I don't know if this team really recovered from that. And then you had health issues. Klay started slow. Steph has been out. You know, it might be one of those where you don't want to face the Golden State Warriors. Can they piece it all together again? And I would look at Phoenix because now the X factor with Phoenix to me is DeAndre Ayton, because that feels like there's still friction, tension with him and the head coach Monty Williams, or at least I don't know if it was ever settled. The fact that you have this run in the playoffs and then you don't talk to each other over the summer, and I found that remarkable. And then he wanted out, or they wanted to trade him, or both. Now he's still there. Chris Paul's age is going to be a factor once you get to the postseason. And maybe if you just say to Chris, all you got to do is pass, just throw it to Booker or Kevin Durant. But having Durant there, and Durant was playing extremely well before he got hurt with Brooklyn, you know, he's a baller. Like, he just is. He's a basketball player. First thing that comes to mind is Kevin Durant loves to play basketball. I think he went to a high school game on his night off.
Not like undercover, right? Not like,
no, I don't think he can.
Like one of those 27-year-olds who tries to play?
No, he wasn't playing, but I think he went to a high school basketball game in Charlotte. I mean, the guy loves playing basketball. And I respect that. Plus, you know, he never felt like he had to be like everybody else. I got to shoot the three. He still bangs out that mid-range jumper, man. It's just, and it's unstoppable. It really is. Like, he's still, you know, when you think of a mismatch, he's right there on the short list of you can't cover that guy. You can't shut him down. Yeah, Mar.
I was calling him, he's Led Zeppelin. Like, look, you have Jordan and LeBron, they might be the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, but do you want to go after Led Zeppelin?
Oh.
Do you want any problems with Led Zeppelin?
Okay. All right. So now we're affixing bands to players. Jordan's the Beatles.
Yeah, not the longest run of all time.
Yeah.
But the greatest.
Yeah.
Would
Beatles
arguably.
Say, Beatles say, no, it's not. No, it's not arguable.
Let's be this chair.
Beatles had like an 8-year run. And Jordan had, you know, maybe a 10-year run. I could see that. Stones have been going on forever. That is LeBron.
It is.
Yeah. Do you do like LeBron is Jagger and then Jordan is John and Paul? It might be two people in there. Who else would you'd put in there? Yes, Paul.
I don't know the player who goes with it, but U2 was very successful and very successful for a long time.
Okay.
That said, no one ever says U2 is the greatest band of all time. You rarely hear that. But success.
How about, is Kobe Bryant U2?
Yeah, okay. You're kind of in between.
Yes.
It's going to have him almost like a Nirvana type.
Kobe is Nirvana?
Sure. For a generation of people, he was the greatest.
But he played so much longer than Nirvana was together.
Yeah, oh, is that, are we doing it like year to year? That's how we're comparing?
Well, if I'm looking at LeBron in longevity, I have to look at the Rolling Stones, who are still performing.
Yeah.
The Beatles had a sweet spot of, what, eight years, and Jordan had a sweet spot of 10 years. Yeah, Paul.
The New Jersey Nets, or the Brooklyn Nets are Oasis.
Yeah, breaking up.
A lot of expectations. And everyone went their separate ways.
Yeah, but, Oasis said they're bigger than the Beatles.
So
I
did
think.
The Nets.
Yeah, they did.
Bill Russell is like the Pink Floyd of the group. He's got a sold a ton of records, but no one ever calls him the greatest.
Okay.
Pink Floyd sold most records probably of anybody, but...
But Bill Russell could be Mariah Carey, too, because...
Could be.
Hasn't she sold... Doesn't she have more number one hits than Elvis?
I think, yeah.
And yes, Todd.
Who would the Joker be? Like someone that's lasted a long time, but no real, like a Phil Collins, someone that's had a lot of success, but no real flair to their performance. Like, wow, you got to go see that guy.
Well, the Joker's only, what, 28?
He's like The Weeknd right now. It's on a hell of a run.
The Weeknd.
Not a hell of a run.
The Weeknd.
I like that. Yeah. Like currently, he's the hottest thing going.
Killing it.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
But for right now.
I don't know if I would compare the Joker to The Weeknd.
No one else is.
Yeah.
Is that are you underplaying that The Weeknd is so much better than what the Joker is right now? Or
I would think that somebody else was bigger than The Weeknd.
Man, I don't know.
Travis Scott would be bigger.
Drake?
Drake, okay. Is the Joker Drake?
He's racking up some MVP awards. No one else is doing this in sports radio. Undisputed, beat this.
Yeah. Yes, Todd.
Post Malone? Does he get a little Jokerish? A little Luka-ish, maybe?
Yeah, okay. Low Post Malone.
Okay. There's Carl Malone and his brother Post Malone.
We could do this all
Anywho.
Day. All day. Yeah. Add an extra hour on. Like Metallica. You know, a lot of people love Metallica. Love people... critique Metallica from not being as hard-edged as other bands.
Mm.
But what a run of success. They're like, what, year 40?
What's that, Larry Bird?
Hey, easy.
Whoa, what?
Easy.
What? It wasn't meant as a...
Is Allen Iverson maybe Metallica?
Oh, man.
He's got a special place in a lot of people's hearts.
He does.
And he means a lot, just like Metallica might mean a lot to just a certain demographic.
Right. What the hell happened with this?
Fantastic.
Show?
Nobody.
No, you're right. A couple of phone calls in here. What's poll question? We're going with an hour or two, Sidney O'Connor.
Well, we got a couple options here for you. Paulie sent this one over. I'm changing it a little bit, though.
Okay.
But if I was 5'11 and a half, I would tell people that I was 5'11 or 6 foot.
Oh, 6 foot.
And now, as someone who is, or at least used to be 5'11 and a half, I've said I'm 6 foot almost mine. As soon as I hit that.
Yeah.
I only recently walked it back to 5'11.
You don't have to. Stick with six.
Well.
Because then you get around other people that are 6 foot,
yes.
And you're clearly not as tall as them. Yeah. You're like, well, I should just dial that back.
Yeah. Because I was 6'3. Now I'm hovering around 6'1, 6'1 and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, but Seton might be 5'11, but he's got good hair that can kick up a little bit and even things out, and no one's going to check you.
You know these Hoka shoes?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm 6'2 and a half. You know, it's like, oh, you know, when we did the meet and greet after the shows at the Super Bowl, you had people say, man, you're a lot taller than I thought. I'm like, yeah, if I took these shoes off, you wouldn't say that. I mean, Tom Cruise wears lifts, I think, in his shoes, doesn't he?
By the way, speaking of that, because I always get that too, like, oh, you're a lot taller than I thought you would be. Yesterday, somebody said I looked healthy. Did they call me fat?
Well, no, healthy isn't fat.
But they kind of did it with like an extra flair to it. Like, yeah, you're looking healthy, like with an eyebrow raise almost.
Well, if they say, hey, chunky, you look healthy.
Hey, fat.
Hey, fat.
Yeah. I feel like, you're like, yeah, you're looking healthy, but the eyes kind of, the eyebrows sort of went up. I'm like, I think this dude just called me fat.
He did.
Who was it? Was it here?
No.
Okay.
No,
is there a context there? Were you at like a smorgasbord? You were stuffing your face?
No. It was just somebody that's around the neighborhood.
What was the tone of? You're looking healthy.
Hey, Seton.
I saw the person. I hadn't seen them in about a year. So I was like, hey, man, how you doing? You good? Which I ask almost everybody. How you doing, man? You good? Yeah. Great. You know, feeling healthy. Whatever. Blah, this and that. And be like, yeah, no, you're looking healthy.
Ooh.
I was like, I think this dude just called me fat.
Okay. Maybe you're not used to getting compliments. Therefore, when you get one, you're not sure that it's a compliment.
Mm.
And maybe you're like, what did he say?
I just might be more sensitive about being
fat,
heavy for me, too. Yeah. That might also be it.
Are you fat?
For me, right now, massive.
Okay.
No, massive. You're not.
Morbidly, yes.
More?
Yes. You're not morbidly. Massive. You're not.
For me? Yeah. I was like, dang, I think this dude just called me fat. I closed my front door. I was like, babe, I think he just called me fat.
Okay, you're healthy.
But he's like the kind of dude who, like, you ever around a guy who is sort of always alpha dogging you? He's always want to make sure that, like, oh, what are you doing over here painting this? I probably would have gone with something else. You're like, okay, didn't ask you. He's kind of like one of those dudes. Where he's always got, oh, you went with the oil-based, huh? Yeah, okay.
I'm not really familiar with that type of person.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I spent every day
Paulie.
With...
His name is Paul.
Did not call me fat yesterday, yeah. Just to be clear.
At least I said it first.
Yes, Marv.
No, they got it for me. Go ahead.
All right, let me take a break.
Healthy. He definitely wanted to say, oh, you're not missing any meals.
But if you said right, that's exactly what it felt like.
It definitely feels, oh, someone's not missing any meals. My aunt did that to me once.
If you said that to your wife.
Oh, I wouldn't have one.
Yeah, I don't want to do this conversation on air here.
But if you said, oh, you're looking healthy. What does that mean? Are you kind of treading into dangerous territory there? You look healthy. Yes, Todd.
It kind of implies that at one point you looked less healthy or you weren't looking that great. Now you look better.
Okay.
You did.
Or you could say, I didn't think you could look better, but you do. You look healthy.
See, Dan, you're a veteran.
I am a
Word
veteran.
Selection and yes. order is yes. everything. It's like, oh, you look skinny. No. Oh, you look great. You look lean. You're great.
Yes, Marv.
Yes, if somebody's put on weight, a spouse, and they were, you know, maybe always a little thin, and like, well, I think I put on weight. No, you look good. You look healthy now. Like, you look better. Come on. I'm like you. I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. Always remember that.
I am also true to this.
Yes, Todd.
But you can't tell your wife, pasta and garlic knots. All right, whatever. Do your thing, girl.
Does your wife do that to you?
She made a couple. She'll make like this face. You can't do it for radio, but like when I'll just say what I had for lunch, and she'll like puff up her cheeks like this. If that's what you want, that's what you're going for.
But it's the Olive Garden face, I think.
Exactly. So yeah. You have to do the whole tour of Italy. You couldn't just stop by, see like the west coast of Italy. You had to do the whole country.
Lake Como. Yeah, that's it. We don't have to go to Puglia, the Amalfi Coast here. I will get this one. How many beers is that? And I'll go, who's counting? No, I just, is that like three? And I go, yeah, okay. And then she'll do the math and she'll go, it's like 40 minutes or so. And I go, yeah, really thirsty. Yes, Seton.
Ryan just tweeted at us that his wife's uncle, who he hadn't seen in a while, called him stout.
That's not good.
That's not a compliment.
No, that's not.
That is not a compliment.
That is not.
You're looking stout.
That's not good. That's not good.
Unless you're former Steeler Cliff Stout, then you can maybe get away with it.
Thank you, Todd. We'll take a break. Head to the Combine after this. Dan Patrick Show. Seton, when are we open up the Panini trading cards?
You know what? How about a little late this hour?
Well, why don't you open it up right now?
Okay.
And let me know what's in there. Because I saw when the package came in. See, I have a habit. Whenever the mail comes in, I open up everything. And Seton hates that because it has his name on it. But I don't even really notice it. I think everything's for me. And I open
this is accurate.
Yes. So I open up something and I'll go, hey, Seton, that's for you. It's got Panini cards in there.
It's usually I'm like, hey, did anybody see?
Yes.
I was supposed to get something like 2 weeks
ago.
And it's like,
I know.
All of a sudden you come out of your little back room. You're like, I didn't know.
I think there was truffle oil that somehow got lost there.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, and he's out at the Combine. NFL Network, the scouting combine kicks off today at 3 Eastern on NFL Network, where they look at defensive linemen and linebackers. Segue to Jalen Carter, since he's not there any longer. Daniel, what kind of questions left the building when Jalen Carter left?
Well, I think there's a lot to be answered. I did see something online a few minutes ago, Dan, where it said that he was headed on his way back here to meet with teams. So I don't know if that's an accurate report or not, but I did see that floating around on the internet. But this is it's an awful situation. It's a tragedy, obviously, with what resulted there. And it's very serious, and it's being taken very serious by teams. You know, the one thing is there's time here between now and the draft. And if you're going to draft Jalen Carter, you're going to be spending a lot of time with him between now and then. And you're going to be doing a lot of digging to see, you know, what else is there, because this is troubling would be a gross understatement.
And we always, it's a sliding scale of how much baggage and how good you are. Jalen Carter, by all accounts, is a top 5 pick, maybe number 1 overall. Would you, where do you have him in your mock draft?
Yeah, he's my number 1 player in the whole draft, Dan. I think he's the best football player in the country. So, he's as good as it gets in this year, and he plays a position where, if you know, you talk about scarcity, it's hard to find interior guys with his ability. You know, there's a lot of really talented edge rushers that come into the league each and every year. The number of dominant defensive tackles that can really mess things up from a run and pass standpoint, those guys are hard to find. He's a rare, rare, rare talent.
How would you assess the quarterback draft if you were going to grade it to or compare it to previous drafts?
I don't think there's that the slam dunk guy where we've had years. I mean, Joe Burrow from start to finish, you felt real comfortable that he was going to be a really good player. He was the best one. Trevor Lawrence, the same way. We saw that years coming, and he was just – they were clean, you know. They checked every box in terms of the size and the skill set and everything you need from the position. I think these guys this year, I think they're really gifted. I think they're really talented. I would say there's 5 of them I think will end up being starting quarterbacks, which is a huge number in drafts. So – from that standpoint, it's really good, but they're all, you know, they all come with a varying level of risk, and it's whatever risk you're comfortable taking. It's different with each of them.
If Caleb Williams was available in this draft, what would the Chicago Bears do with the number 1 pick?
Well, I've seen enough of him. I haven't done, the big workup on him, but I've seen enough to know that when guys like that come into the draft, you take them and you move on from whoever else is in the building.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't know about Bryce Young. And I did have an NFL scout to say that he wasn't all in on Justin Fields to begin with. And if you have somebody you truly love, then take them because you reset that quarterback clock. If you ran the Bears, knowing these prospects, what would you do with the number one overall pick?
Yeah, I'm going to take you on a winding road here because the first part of that question is who do you like better? Do you like Justin Fields better or do you like Bryce Young? Personally, I have a higher grade on Bryce Young. And so then the follow-up question is, well, then great. You ought to take Bryce Young and you should trade Justin Fields. But to me, I think the underrated aspect of the evaluation of quarterbacks, Dan, is the fit. And I just don't like the fit of Bryce Young in Chicago. I just don't think it works. I can make a strong case for him.
But explain that to me, though, Daniel. The fit as far as weather, style, yeah. I mean, what goes into this?
So, yeah, look, I scouted for a couple teams in the AFC North, okay? And when we were looking at quarterbacks, we wanted bigger guys, more physical guys. If you go back at that time, you had Ben Roethlisberger and Carson Palmer in the division. You know, the Ravens end up ultimately getting Joe Flacco. But the feeling was, you know, you're playing in a physical division. You're playing outdoor and weather and wind and all the elements. It just, you wanted a more physical guy to hold up in there. They play, it's a different game when you play indoors. And, you know, I just look at Bryce. I think of, you know, how everything is crisp and on time, get the ball out. When you have indoor field, you've got indoor footing. Timing is it's a lot easier there. And I think all of his strengths play well in that environment and that, you know, in that AFC South with either Houston or Indy.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of which, Justin Fields actually fits the Chicago Bears style.
He does.
You know, when
he might not like the cold weather, but he fits it.
And I'm curious about C.J. Stroud because I was watching the Georgia game, and all of a sudden I go, I would show that to every scout and just say, every team, look at this. Break down C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, that was. It's funny you mentioned that, Dan, because you know I had kind of a grade on him, a certain grade on him. I watched him over the summer, coming into the season, and I liked him. But you know, gosh, I just wish there was a little more suddenness or urgency or like a playmaking aspect to his game. I think he's just a pure thrower. I mean, it is fun to watch the ball come off his hand. He can make every type of throw. But you know, free rusher, you get an unblocked guy. I wanted to see him, you know, create and make some plays. And in basketball, I guess the analogy would be he was more of a shooter than a scorer, you know, and he just didn't really have that element. So then I'm watching throughout the season and I'm like, okay, I think his arm's gotten a little bit stronger. So I like that, but not enough to move him up off of my grade that I already have. And you watch him throughout the whole year and I'm like, okay, this is kind of a DNA match. He's the same guy. He's not changing. I know exactly what he is. And then I turn on the semifinal game and I go, wait a second. Who's this?
I know.
And that's the old adage in scouting, Dan. It's like, if you can do it once, you can do it. So, you know, it's in there. So one of the things I'd be curious, you know, I'm curious to see how healthy he was during the year. And then maybe it was just as simple as, when you're Ohio State, you don't play many teams that can put you in positions to have to do that. Well, Georgia can make you move around a little bit. So I moved him up. I moved him up after that game because I know it's in there.
Are you more interested, concerned about Bryce Young's height or his weight?
I would say the frame, you know, just the frame, just being a narrow frame, lighter, you know, the height. I think he had two or three balls tipped that, you know, that doesn't show up as an issue. There's times where, maybe a couple times on tape, I can say, okay, I don't think he saw this guy. But when you have a strong enough arm, and he does, you know, it's not a, you know, he doesn't have a Matthew Stafford type arm, not a Mahomes type arm, but it's plenty good enough. When you're a little undersized, one of the things they've been able to do, and I think it started really with Russell Wilson, is they get so much depth in their drop so that you can just create distance between you and the line of scrimmage, helps you see. You know, Drew Brees always had that awesome interior. You know, the center and the two guards were always really good. You invested in those guys, and they kept that space and that distance for him to be able to see. So I think he can navigate around that. One of the interesting things, I was talking to a team the other day, and I hadn't thought of this part of it, and he said, so if you love Bryce Young, but your question is the durability, he said, well, then why don't you go invest maybe a little bit more than you'd like to in the backup quarterback, knowing that he's probably going to have to play two or three games a year, you know? And
I don't want to hear that.
But Dan, that's a way where you kind of get your cake and eat it too. You know, if you can get, if you're getting 14 games of high level quarterback play, and you've got to, you got to give them a week here or there in a 17 game season, I'd rather have that than sacrifice the talent at the position and roll somebody out there who's not as good for 17 weeks.
Talking to Daniel Jeremiah, former NFL scout, and he's an analyst for the NFL Network. Scouting Combine kicks off today at 3 Eastern on NFL Network. Well, if that's the case, then would I use that same blueprint for Kyler Murray? Would I use it for Lamar Jackson? These quarterbacks who are not going to make it through 17 games, they're going to be nicked up?
Fields in there. Okay. Yeah, put Fields in there as well. If you're going to rely on these guys, you know, it's two different things. One of them is the size factor, and the other one is guys that really like to use their legs and be a part of it. So if those two cases show up, I think there is wisdom in investing in that backup quarterback.
If you ran the Seahawks, what would you do with that fifth overall pick?
That's a great call. You know, they have been doing a lot of work on quarterbacks. I know, you know, that I'm sure they don't want to get Geno done. But I think even if they do get Geno done, I don't think that would preclude them from taking one, you know, thinking they could get the guy of the future. I would say if you have a quarterback that you love in this draft, if you're the Seahawks, I wouldn't let the fact that you've got a guy coming off of a Pro Bowl season and Geno Smith deter you from taking one. But, you know, the way he played last year, the way, you know, they've got some pretty good young pieces on this team. I know usually when you have a defensive-minded head coach and they watch a crappy defense all season long, Dan, that's you get on a one-track mind there and say, I just can't stomach watching a front seven like this anymore. I've got to get some difference makers.
Would you take a running back in the top 10?
The only team I would do it for is the team that has a less than 0% chance of doing it, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. Just because their roster's in such great shape. You know, you're never going to take a running back over a pass rusher if you don't have pass rushers. You're never going to take one over a quarterback, a left tackle. Like, they have all those key positions filled. And, you know, you can add depth, obviously, to fortify them. But I just think with their roster, as close as they were to winning a Super Bowl, and then you take Bijan Robinson, who's as talented a back as we've seen in a long time, is right up there with all those top guys that have gone up there in the previous generation when we used to care about running backs. I think you put him in that offense with Hurts, with those two receivers, with Goddard, and all of a sudden you throw Bijan Robinson in there, that might be the piece to push you over the top. That being said, I work there. I know Howie Roseman really well, and it'll never happen.
I would think Buffalo would be the team that if – I don't think they can get him, but Buffalo having him
– Oh, he'd be a home run.
Yeah.
He'd be a home run. He's a great player.
I'll circle back to what the original topic. Would you draft Jalen Carter? Hi.
I would want to know a lot more information before I would be comfortable doing that. As great as he is, Dan, you know, I know that you're not going to have everybody that has a perfectly clean sheet in terms of their background. That's not realistic, and guys make mistakes. And, you know, remember, these guys are young, but this is not a small ordeal. This resulted in the loss of life, and that would be very difficult for me personally.
Always great to talk to you. Have fun out there. We appreciate your time, Daniel.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
This is Steve Covino.
And Rich Davis.
And together, we are Covino and Rich.
Covino and Rich.
Thanks, buddy. That's right, Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio's newest hit show. Heard weekdays from 5 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Every Covino and Rich show is available as a podcast. Just search Covino and Rich wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe.
I'm such a rockin' dude.
The show features our unique take on sports, injected with some fun, humor, and relatability.
Listen to Covino and Rich 5 days a week on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Covino and Rich, give me a hell yeah!
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
John Smoltz, he's a Hall of Famer, and he works MLB on Fox. The World Series analyst as well. The new rules are out, John, and I want to know, John Smoltz, the pitcher, in his prime, with the new rules, how would you take advantage of the pitch clock or the batter clock?
Well, that would have been right up my alley because, you know, the biggest thing I loved about starting pitching, I get to go when I want to go. And I was a fast worker. That was really something that was always taught to our staff, Glavin, Maddox, myself, whoever's in the staff. You know, that was Leo's biggest preach is, let's go, get the ball, and we were trained for that. And so, you know, information and everything that's kind of slowed the game down is now trained to process more information. So I absolutely love this rule. I love every rule that's come into play for the obvious reasons that people are going to complain and they're going to, you know, baseball's been slow to change for of the major sports, and that's okay, but it's time, and the players will learn it. They'll be fine. It's actually going to be worse for the hitters than it is for the pitchers. I know it's called a pitcher's clock, but it might as well be called a hitter's clock.
But so far, runs are up, batting average is up, but you're saying it's going to be tougher for hitters?
I think it's going to be tougher for hitters to process the information faster. Pitchers are going to have their game plan already established, and they're just going to kind of, you know, they're full tilt and nobody's really massaging the strike zone. They're trying to pound the strike zone. So hitters are trying to get all that information. That's why they step out. They're trying to see what they have absorbed during the day. In my opinion, there have been some notorious slow pitchers, but that is a minority. And I think that the game in and of itself with all these rules, I'm excited about every one of them. I'm telling you, there's going to be unintended consequences that are going to affect the game in a positive way. Everybody will get over it. And I know the narrative. Look, I get it. Like, people are talking about, oh, I can't believe you're making it, you know, easier for the game to be played. No, that's not it. The data showing the game takes too long. And when the game takes too long and philosophies are set in place, you can't go to an individual club and say, I need you to change your philosophy. They're not going to do that. So a rule change will cause the philosophy change because you would be stupid not to. If there's no shift, and you're teaching a guy to hit the ball hard, then you'd be not along the lines of your analytics to take advantage of that.
Who was notorious kind of playing mind games with you when they were in the batter's box?
Oh, there would be some guys that, you know, again, though, leadoff hitters were different, right? Leadoff hitters' job was to make us miserable, because if they could work the count, work a walk, then they would work the bases. They would steal. They'd make the hitter behind them so much better because we had to pay attention to them. So leadoff hitters would play games. They would step out, fake bunt, work the count. My battles will go all the way back to Brett Butler, and we were friends. And I told him he'd never be able to bunt on me. And he was one of the best bunters in the game. And that's how he worked that's how the game was played back then. So those systems and those are not fair to compare to today, because that's not the same. And, you know, stepping out of the box then or taking way too long, there were ways to even those systems out. Those don't exist.
Of course. No, you don't throw at hitters anymore. Aaron Judge was interviewed during the game yesterday, and he said that you have to get back in and, you know, it's quicker. So I have less time to think about the last pitch. Like, he liked it that, all right, let that go. Now get in and get ready for that next pitch. Can you understand that logic?
Absolutely. And that's where the strategy is going to come in. If you've heard me broadcast a lot, you've heard me talk about where the last pitch was and how pitchers don't take advantage of where the last pitch was and what the hitter did in his reaction. In other words, if I threw a high fastball and he swung at it, okay, if you take too long and that hitter forgets where that pitch is and you bounce one in the dirt, you're not taking advantage of where that last pitch is. So what he's talking about can work in an advantage for a hitter and maybe a disadvantage for a pitcher. So that's going to be balanced out. I always pitched where the last pitch was, and I pitched off of it. And I didn't want too much time to go back because I didn't want the hitter to reset. I wanted him to think about what he swung at and then make him try to chase it a little bit farther off. I didn't want time to go by so he could reset his brain.
I didn't know that they have these pitching machines. We were out at the Super Bowl. We went to the Giants camp, and they can simulate Clayton Kershaw's curveball.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild that they could say, like, we're facing DeGrom, or, you know, that you can kind of plug that into these machines?
Yeah, those were starting to be birthed when I was at the end of my career, and I was always, I was always jabbing my teammates going, man, I'd love to face me. But then again, no, I don't want to face me. and they were like, shut up, Smoltz. And I said, listen, you know, that technology exists now. And yes, you can see and shape pitches and get used to shaping pitches. The one thing that's still difficult is the hand that, you know, it's coming out of that hole in the screen. So you can start looking at those pitches, but the timing, and that's what I've always said about pitching. Why do guys not use the windup more? Why are we, like, you're letting the hitter see too much of a kind of a conformed mini stretch delivery. So those things can be mimicked and timed. And I'm all for whatever is going to help everybody, but I still think the pitcher has the advantage when he uses the windup.
Would you have rather faced Glavine or Maddux?
Oh, man, either one. I said, listen, I said to Glavine, I said, you better hope you never go somewhere else, because I'm not dumb like the rest of those hitters. I'm going to sit on your changeup. And so we faced each other, and it was right after the All-Star break. And I kid you not, I had pulled my hamstring, and they said to me, like, you need to take a start off. I said, no, it's lined up with Glavine. I am not taking a start off. I'm facing him. It's bases loaded, one out. And I'm sitting on a changeup. And this is what I learned. Even if I sat on the changeup, I couldn't hit it. And so I pulled it to shortstop. It was like a tractor pull running to first. I had a pulled hamstring. I was trying to beat it out, and I couldn't. I obviously faced them both at the latter part of their career. But their majesty. They were so good at knowing what you were looking for and giving it to you, but not in that area. And hitters just weren't, they didn't go the other way. And when you don't go the other way against them, you lose.
I would love, if I was a hitter, to face either one from the standpoint of, I knew it was going to be around the strike zone.
Yes.
It's the guy that you're not quite sure, like Randy Johnson. No way. Not interested. Not interested at all. Where did you ever go up there with fear in your?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I tell you what. I mean, Pedro Martinez struck fear in me just because he was so nasty. You were going to embarrass yourself. And I did. Right. I did get lucky and get one hit off of him up the middle. But, you know, what's weird is Randy and I are in the same era. Obviously, we went in the Hall of Fame together, and we never faced each other. And so if it were possible, and I mean this like without getting severely fined, if there was a way to go up there without a bat against one of those guys you feared, that you didn't know if they'd throw a strike, but you also didn't know if you'd get it in the ribs, I'd go up there without a bat. It would mess with their mind.
I don't. Are you allowed to go to the plate with no bat?
I don't think so. But, you know, I tried to tell everybody when Rick Ankiel was going through what he was going through, and we faced him in the playoffs against the Cardinals, and I begged every hitter, don't swing. You know, go up there with a bat, but don't swing. And no one could do it. And then eventually he worked his way into trouble. But there are certain guys that if they saw you without a bat, it would flip. It would freak them out. And I don't think they could throw a strike.
Always great to talk to you, John. Thank you, buddy.
My pleasure.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The brilliant EQE SUV from Mercedes-Benz, available with digital light technology. So smart, even the headlamps are thinking. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQE-SUV.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.